Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
Okay, so how do you respond if you're the accountability partner being confessed to? That's a tough role, to be a good accountability partner. Because you want to be tough and understanding, right? You don't want the person to become discouraged. Very often when somebody's in an enslaving sin, they get discouraged. And they just want to give up. And you got to keep them encouraged. And you got to remind them of God's forgiveness a lot of times. And they get into self-condemnation. You got to protect them from self-condemnation. So you want to be encouraging, but you want to be firm. You don't want to just say, oh yeah, we all blow it. Try again next time. You want to make some big deal about it. Say, okay, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to amputate? How are you going to secure perimeter for tomorrow? Because make sure this doesn't happen tomorrow. Give them some warnings from Scripture. Just make it a big deal. Make it so that they know next time this happens, this is going to be an ordeal. So that's a tricky balance. It's not easy. The biggest thing is hang in there with them. Don't get discouraged when they just fail and fail and fail and fail and fail, and now it's been 4 years. Just hang in there with them. Maybe it'll take 8 years. Yeah, I don't totally agree with everything in that book that he says about confession. He says don't tell your wife on certain cases, and he says don't confess to anybody who's not affected, which I wouldn't agree with that on certain accountability partners. You'd want to confess even if they're not affected by the sin. As far as whether you talk to your wife, I think the best thing to do is to, for a guy who struggles with sexual sin, to just work it out with his wife what kinds of things she wants him to confess to and what kinds of things she just doesn't want to hear. There are some situations where a guy, he's struggling with thoughts. I mean, there's some guy they've really sensitized their conscience and they really feel guilty about the slightest deviation of the lustful thought that lasts even for a moment. But he tells his wife about that, and to her it seems like something way bigger than what it actually was, and it just creates problems for her, and she doesn't necessarily want to hear that stuff. And if he can work out a situation where she says, if you cross this line, I want to hear about that. Anything besides that, just talk to your accountability partner. And the thing that'll make that workable for your wife is if she can trust your honesty with your accountability partner and your accountability partner's integrity with taking your stuff seriously. I think if your wife can trust that, then that'll be easier to work out. But I just think that's a case-by-case individual thing to work out between a man and his wife. If you've got some big area that is a secret to your spouse has no idea, how are you one flesh? How is that one flesh? That's not one flesh. You don't want some big area of your life that's just, she just doesn't have any idea about. There was one more thing I was going to say about that. There are sometimes people will say, I don't want to have all these protections. I don't want to secure perimeter. I don't want to have to stay away from the door of her house. I want to get to the point where I have enough spiritual maturity. I have enough love for the Lord to where I'll just prefer him over sin. And I want my heart to be right, and I don't want to just win by protecting myself from being tempted. That's folly. That's folly. That is foolishness. Look, moving away from temptation is an act of love for God, and moving toward it is an act of defiance against that relationship of God. And proximity to temptation can undo good things that you've done in your heart. You've built up this love for God and this desire for God. Getting too close to temptation can undo that and harm that love. And so it's not just a simple thing of, well, if I love God, I won't sin. If I love God, the more I love God, the more I want to distance myself from things that are going to start to attract me. And if I think I'm ever going to, in this life, get to the point where I'm unattractable by sin, I'm unaffectable by sin, not in this life. It's never going to happen. How do you report a failure to an accountability partner? What I try to do is leave the least amount of work in their court as possible. So Bob's my accountability partner. I'll say, Bob, I had a stumble. I had a bad stumble today. Here's what I did. Here's how much time I spent doing it. Here's the attitudes that were underneath it. The reason I stumbled into that is because I started out with this. It's almost always some sinful attitude well before that. And then that led into me doing this. Here was my motive, a sinful motive I had. And here's what I'm doing to try to recover. Sometimes he'll reply back and it's, you know, he just like, thanks for being honest, I'm praying for you. Or he'll write out a prayer typically. Other times there's some exhortation because my confession is like, well, I stumbled into this because, you know, and then I ended up kind of justifying it. And he's like, oh, that was stupid. You know, it was stupid way back here. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess that was. And sometimes I need that, you know. Sometimes I'm broken down and I need some encouragement. But my task as the one making myself accountable is just to be as transparent as I can be. And I found that my temptation is always to confess in a way that makes me look not that bad. I just find these super clever ways to say something that's technically honest, and yet it makes me look way better than if he would have really seen everything, you know. And that's the biggest thing you got to fight, because man, what good is confession going to do if we're lying? Half of it's a lie. So just be real, not self-deprecating, not self-condemning, just honest. This is what happened. You know? And sometimes it's a confession and a praise. Like, here's what happened. Here's the stumble. And then the Lord convicted me, and I feel guilty. And I repented, and then I had this great time alone with the Lord, and I've got joy back already. And I, you know, and praise God. And so sometimes there's that, you know. Yeah, you know, one of the best things you can do to help yourself out of a problem is help someone else out of that same problem. You know, if you got this attitude, well, I'll get my act totally together, then I'll start counseling people. Then you just never start counseling people. But if you want to make progress, man, start helping someone else. Find someone else that's down there in that same pit you're in, so let's get out of this thing together, you know? And then sometimes you'll be strong and you'll pull them up, and sometimes they're strong, they'll pull you up, and you can get some traction. So. That's right. Yeah, teaching. It's amazing how much I grow from the things that God teaches me that I just from my preparation for teaching. Like that, I told you earlier about that text I got today. I get all mad and I'm, you know, upset and fretting and everything, and this person is doing the wrong thing. And man, I got the text last night. I was up all night tossing and turning, and I wasn't sleeping and fretting everything all night long. And then like probably 3-4 hours into the day today, before this thought occurred to me. You ready for it? It's from God. I just spent a whole sermon preaching that, like that same day. You know, it was yesterday. It's from, these trials are from God. Don't worry about the person. Think, what is God doing? It's like, after a whole night and half the morning, I finally like, oh, yeah, it's from God. And then that was fine after that. So sometimes it takes a while for stuff to sink in. Yeah, there's nothing worse than having an accountability partner that doesn't have any sins. Yeah, I've had that. I was like, yeah, they're not struggling with anything. It's like, do you ever fail in any way, you know? But yeah, the more reciprocal, the better, so. Godliness training exercises. Number one, find an accountability partner. Set up a routine, regular accountability. At first, if you're struggling with an enslaving sin, it should probably be daily. Until you can get some traction, it should probably be a daily thing. There was a long time where I would just, every single morning, the first thing I did, before I even had my prayer time, the very first thing, I had a little form of questions that I would answer. And there, nobody had to ask me these questions. I had them written out. They're the questions I knew I needed to answer every day. And did you do this? How satisfying was your time with the Lord? How, you know, what was your prayer time? All this stuff, just put it down there and then send off the email, and then I can get started on my day. Just do that every single day with your accountability partner. If you don't like email, phone call, visit, whatever, but for me, email works. So that's the assignment. Find an accountability partner and set up some kind of regular routine. Whether it's daily or weekly or whatever it's going to be for you, I recommend daily, but whatever it's going to be, set up the routine with your partner. So that's number one. Number two, take steps to bring your life out into the open, all that stuff I talked about, Life 360 app, email, passwords, accountability software. Sometimes it's just as simple as going to bed with your spouse, right? Your spouse goes to bed, go to bed. Well, she's a morning person, I'm a night person, I got to stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning because I can't go to bed at 9 anymore, you know. Just go to bed with your spouse. If you can't go to sleep, I've got a pair of glasses at home that they're the nerdiest things you'll ever want to see. They're glasses, and they don't have any lenses, but they got these two little flashlights. And I can go click, click, and I can lay in bed, and I can read until 2 in the morning if I need to. And if you don't go to sleep, then you're set. Tracy doesn't like the laptop in bed, so I got to resort to reading. Just go to bed with your spouse if you get in trouble after your spouse goes to bed. Get a roommate, you know. Maybe you're single, you're having trouble, too much aloneness, you need to get a roommate or whatever it is. Okay, so take some steps to get your life into the light. Number three, keep praying for victory like we have been, and then also pray for someone else you know is struggling. That helps a lot. Find out somebody else is struggling with the same thing, hopefully you've found that in this class, and pray for their struggle. I've found that when I'm praying for someone else who's struggling with the same thing and I'm praying for victory for them, that helps me not be as susceptible to cave into that sin that I'm praying that they won't cave into, right? So pray for them. Number four, read the Sermon on the Mount. So we're going to at least twice between now and next week go through Matthew 5 through 7. Just read it carefully and thoughtfully with regard to your particular struggle, okay? Spend some time in the Sermon on the Mount. Number five, continue with what you've been doing with trying to have satisfying experiences with God through the day. We'll ask that again in our small groups next time. What kind of experiences have you had? We had some great conversation in our small group just now about, you know, just in the morning watching the sunrise, or kids throwing their arms around you at night, or just experiences with your family or whatever, and enjoying God through those. Just mark down as many of those as you can. Review your memory verses, Galatians 5:16, Isaiah 55:2, and Proverbs 5:8, and then we'll add one more. Let's do Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Man reaps what he sows. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Man reaps what he sows, and so on. Okay? Let's memorize that one so we can have that sowing and reaping principle in our head. And then just get in the habit of asking yourself that question of, what am I sowing right now? And if you could get so you ask yourself that question 20 times in a day, what am I sowing right now? Am I sowing to the flesh? Am I sowing to the spirit? And every time you do it, just get a little piece of paper, just mark a little tick mark on a piece of paper. See if you can get 20 in a day. That'll have an impact on you. Just thinking about, am I sowing to the flesh, sowing to the spirit? And then come to church on Sunday.
If you're finding the principles in this season's podcast helpful, you may consider getting a group together. Maybe a small group at church or just a group of friends, and everybody enroll in the course, the online course, Getting Unstuck, and you can go through the course together and then talk these principles over. It's one thing to just listen to them. It's another thing to discuss them with other people so you can hear their take on it, and in verbalizing it yourself, the ideas are solidified much more in your own thinking and your understanding. If you don't have a group, I would urge you to at least talk them over with an accountability partner. Or, at the very least, write about them in a prayer journal.
Let's go ahead and break into our groups. Very first question, every time, every week, what ways have you behaved differently this past week as a result of doing the exercises, the godliness training exercises? What's different? What's happening? The question isn't, have you done the exercises? The question is, what impact are they having on your life? And I pray that they're having an impact. If you can't answer that question, then that's probably where you need to crank up the intensity of the exercises, because that's critical. Go ahead and share your experiences of the presence of God that you've had. Last couple, 2, 3 weeks, whatever, your experiences, specific experiences of the presence of God that you've had that have been satisfying to yourself. Just share those. And then share a time these last couple weeks when you did something different than you would have normally done because you were thinking, what am I sowing to right now? A sowing and reaping principle. And so you thought of that, and so you did something different. Number three, what steps did you take last week to bring your life into the light exposure? And then go ahead and quote the verses that we memorized. And then if you have any extra time at the end, share your thoughts from reading through the Sermon on the Mount. We've been reading through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, and whatever your thoughts, whatever hit you, whatever was interesting to you, go ahead and share your thoughts. If you have any time after that, then you can pray for each other.
Thank you for listening. Our prayer is that this season of the Food for Your Soul podcast will help you tap into deeper and deeper experiences of the fruit of the Spirit, especially self-control. Your thoughts about the materials in these studies are important to us, and they may be helpful for others as well. A link to this podcast is posted on the Food for Your Soul Facebook page every weekday morning. You're invited to follow that page and post your reactions to that day's content. Your perspectives might be just what someone else needs to gain insight. And when a session is especially helpful, feel free to click on the share button so others can find it too.
This content has been provided to you free of charge by the generous supporters of Food for Your Soul Ministries. For information on how you can support Food for Your Soul, visit us online at treasuringgod.com. There you'll find over 1,000 sermons, as well as articles, books, and many other resources, all available for free download.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.